Revelation chapter 20 this morning. And I want to start at verse 11. Read the rest of the chapter. We're going to talk to you today about the last judgment. Amen. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It's only five verses, but there is so much contained in those five verses. You will. Let's go all the way back to the book of Genesis. All the way back to the book of Genesis. Chapter 5. I want you to... I'm going to skip around through this... chapter considerably, and I just want us to notice a few things in particular that everybody that's mentioned in this chapter has in common. Everybody. It talks to us about the genealogies of Adam and how God created them in the opening verses of chapter 5 of Genesis, and Adam begat so and so and so and so and so and so down through the lineage. And if you were to read chapter 4, which we're not going to, but you'd find in chapter 4, verses 23 is the last time that the race of Cain is mentioned in the Bible, the last time it is ever mentioned. No more of the descendants of Cain are ever mentioned in Scripture after this point. Amen. Not because there wasn't any of them left, but but because God had a design for the lineage of Seth. And, of course, the lineage of Cain was a very wicked lineage. And when you get through with chapter 4, the last verse of chapter 4 tells us that then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And it was after two murders. Men lived in polygamy. And it was only after the debauchery and the wickedness that men prevailed and lived, that they finally come to the realization they needed God's help. And beginning in verse 1 of chapter 5, we have started, matter of fact, the last two verses of chapter 4, we have started the lineage of Adam. And but it gives a little more detail in chapter 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. And in the day that God created man in the likeness of God, made he him, made a female, created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And verse 5 said, all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Then comes Seth, and Seth lived. Noah, in verse 8, and all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos was Seth's son, and all the days of Enos, in verse 11, were 905 years, and he died. Canaan came next, and he lived a while, 910 years, and he died. Mahalaleel, amen, he was next, and he lived 895 years, and he died. Jared lived 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 365 years on earth, and he walked with God and was not, for God took him. Amen. Methuselah. Methuselah's the oldest man that ever lived. And Jared was right behind him. But Methuselah lived 969 years, and he died. Lamech. Yeah, the Bible tells us that he lived 777 years, and he died. And then Noah is the last character in this chapter that is mentioned before the flood in chapter 6. And Noah lived 950 years. And you'll find his death mentioned in the 9th chapter in the 29th verse. And he died. And I don't think it's probably any question as to any of us here this morning, but would agree that all of these men that born and that lived in this world lived longer in their generations than anybody of our present time. How would you like to live 900 years? 900 years. 900 years. Amen. Jared lived 962 years. Methuselah, 969 years. Noah, 950 years. Adam, 930 years. And Enos, 905 years. I just can't hardly imagine that. That goes beyond my comprehension. I guess probably my mother's here this morning, is the oldest person here in this service today, and she's 85 years young. And when I think of living to be 90 or 100 years of age, and there's some who have, in our time, Sister Settle, Liza Settle, how old is Sister Liza Settle? 95. She just passed away last year, 95 years old. I'll never make it. I don't think I will. Can't never tell. But I just don't think I'm going to make it that long. But anyhow, when I think of being 900 years old, 900 years old, I just can't hardly imagine that. That's a long time. Y'all understand that's a long time. You'd almost think that they were eternal. It's never going to die. Amen. But they did. They did die. Every one of them died, without exception, except for Enoch. Amen. God translated him to glory because he walked with God in such a close communion and lived so holy that God just took him on to glory. But he's the only one I ever know that lived that holy. I have never known of anybody personally in life that lives so holy and so close to God that God just took them out of this world. Never known anybody like that in my time. But everybody else died. I want to tell you this morning, if it ever dawned on you that you too are going to do just like King David when he said, "Behold, I go the way of all the earth." Amen. I'm going that way. I believe it was, wasn't it Solomon who said, "I go the way of all flesh." Amen. We are here for a while. And even if we live to be 100 years old, and some folks have. I was reading just the other day in the newspaper that there's one of the oldest men in the world in modern history is 121 years old. 121, still living. But most part, our society today does not live that long. But, amen, I will assure you that that gentleman who is 121 years old now, he's going to die. He'll do just like all these others. He'll do just like Adam. He'll do just like Enos and Jared and Noah and Methuselah. Methuselah's the oldest man that ever lived, 969 years, and he still died. Almost 1,000 years of age, but he just died. Amen. But there's another thought that we want to look at this morning. Amen. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." That's what we want to talk to you today. Amen. From Revelation chapter 20 and the last five verses of that chapter. Amen. I hear people say that there are some things that are as certain as death. Well, amen. The coming of every condemned sinner. Amen. To stand in judgment before God is one of those things that are as certain as death. Amen. Dying is not the problem that hounds men. It's not just dying. It's having to meet God in judgment after you die. Amen. The scripture links death and the judgment together. It's appointed unto every man once to die. It is certain. It is sure. Amen. It is destined. You are going to die. You may live a good long life. You may live a good healthy life. You may have as good a health as my mother or Brother Frazier. Amen. You may have good health. But I got news for you. You are going to die. Don't matter. Amen. You are. It doesn't matter how pretty you are. You're still going to die. Doesn't matter how good looking you are. You're still going to die. Doesn't matter how much money you got. You're still going to die. Queen, amen. Where's Queen Elizabeth? I believe the first said, all of my riches would I give for a few more minutes of time. Amen. Don't matter how much money you got, you're still going to die. Joseph Kennedy, with all of his millions, never bought him 1 minute of time. Amen. They go the way of all flesh. Amen. Man cannot get by. Amen. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Amen. The scripture says in Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23, "Be sure your sins will find you out." Amen. I want to say this morning that this judgment in Revelation chapter 20 is the last judgment. It is the judgment of every sinner. There's not one saint or one Christian in this judgment. This is a judgment of sinners. This is the judgment of hypocrites. This is the judgment of apostates. This is the judgment of those that have rejected God. Amen. With all the reaping of sorrow that sin causes in this world, you may be sure that, amen, that the penalty for sin has not yet been paid. The depths of sin, the depths, the probe to the depths of its wickedness. Amen. And that fruit, that bitter, the tragic, the eternal, the hellish fruit of sin has not been brought to light in this world. I hear people tell me every once in a while that have encountered life and tragedies of life and reverses of life and family troubles and home, amen, and turmoil and upside down and divorces and wrecks and ruins of life, amen, and drunkards' homes and all sorts of troubles in people's homes. I hear every once in a while people say, amen, I'm living in a living hell. Amen. I understand what they're saying. I really do. I understand what they're saying. But I want to tell you, amen, all of that is a result of sin. The living torment, the living hell that people lived in, the torture. Amen. Children left to the orphans. Come on here. I'm going to preach to you this morning. Amen. A little while about the last judgment. Amen. All of the chaotic condition, the tragic conditions, the troubles of life. Amen. Everything that people encounter these days and the torture and the torment. Amen. The bitter troubles of life. Amen. The hellish fruit of sin still does not even probe, amen, but the surface of the penalty of sin. Amen. The penalty of sin is death, eternal death. Amen. If I could explain to you this morning a living death, amen, not just die, and that's all there is to it. Amen. Die. It's appointed unto every man once to die. If just dying was all he is, like a cat or a dog or an animal or fowl of the air, dying was all there was to it. Amen. Dying would be a cinch. There'd be no trouble with dying. But men are tortured and tormented, amen, when they approach the corridors of death, because they know that beyond death's door there is the eternal judgment of God. Oh, help me here. I want to talk to you this morning about the last judgment. Amen. I've known people that said they were atheists and didn't believe in God, didn't believe in heaven or hell, and they thought, amen, they really believed that when you died, that's just all it was to it. Amen. You're like an animal. When you laid down and the flesh rotted, that's all it was. You didn't have anything to worry about from then on. But I've stood by the bedside of some of those that claimed they were atheists and didn't believe in God and didn't believe in hell and didn't believe in the devil and didn't believe in heaven. Amen. And in their gasping last breath, amen, I've heard them same people say, oh, they're coming after me. Oh, 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 can't you see them? Amen, get me out of here. Amen, amen. History records infidels in their last gasping breath said, pull me up in the fire. Amen, the bed, my feet is on fire. Amen, come on here, I want to preach to you. Amen, amen, amen. Who was that noted infidel? Amen, Voltaire, I believe was his name. Amen, that led so many human beings down the road of sin and awful debauchery lives. Amen, it got ready to die. He said to those infidel colleagues of his gathered around his bed, Amen. He said, oh, you wretches. Oh, you wretches. Do not tell me there is no hell. For I am tormented with its flames already. Oh, you wretches, do not tell me there is no God, for I am already standing in his angry presence. Amen, and I am unprepared to meet him. Amen, I want to tell you, amen, beyond death's door, there is a judgment that every soul, amen, here today that has never found Jesus Christ precious to their heart in life, amen, and ready to face God in judgment, amen, every soul that's unprepared is going to die just as sure as Enos died, just as sure as Jared died, just as sure as Methuselah died. Amen. They all died, and so are you this morning. You're going to die too. Amen. But beyond death's door, amen, you're going to face God in judgment. Amen. In the white throne judgment, and every soul that has rejected the plan of salvation and did not want Jesus Christ to become Lord and Savior of their life is going to stand before God in eternal judgment. Amen. Oh, I sense that God is here this morning. Amen. Oh, last night and this morning, amen, when I opened the Bible, amen, I thought I would go back to the 12th chapter of Romans and talk to you about the administrator today and the ruler and such a great character as Nehemiah was. But God began to deal with my heart on this subject of the last judgment in every soul. I want to tell you this morning, I want to preach to you a while. You don't have to be a horrible drunk to die and go to hell. Amen. You don't have to be a drug addict to die and go to hell. You don't have to be a bank robber or murderer to die and go to hell. Amen. Every soul that has rejected Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life are going to go to hell with the whoremongers and the thieves and the robbers and the stealers. Come on here. Every soul that has said no to the invitation of God's Holy Spirit dealing with their heart time and time again. Every soul, amen, though good morally you may be, but yet you just fail to accept Christ as your Savior, you're going to spend eternity in hell. Amen. With all the other criminals and the God-haters and the apostates. Amen. Because you failed to accept Christ as your Savior. We think that we live in a living hell. Amen. This morning, talk to Cain's race. Talk to Mr. Cain. Somewhere tonight and this morning, amen, has spent the last 4,000 years in the torments of the regions of the damned. Ask him if living in this world, in all of its most wretched and deplorable conditions, is hell. Amen. If that's all of it, if that's the end of it, come on here. Amen. When you stand before eternal God, amen, a holy God, a righteous God, amen, I want to tell you this morning, amen, you'll hear him say, bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If you think that all that life has to, amen, bring you away is a living hell, Amen. Talk to Mr. Judas that sold Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver this morning. Amen. And he'll tell you, you're living in a literal heaven compared, amen, to what the regions of the damned is. Amen. Amen. To be sentenced by God. Amen. A holy God for time and eternity. Amen. And to hell fire. Amen. Oh, let me tell you. Amen. Come on here. Somebody said to me, I want to preach to you a little while. Somebody said to me this past week, they were talking about a certain person, amen, that had been sick and suffering for a long time. And they were so handicapped physically, and they couldn't move. They were a total invalid. They couldn't do anything for themselves. They couldn't help themselves. And amen. Are y'all listening to me? Amen. And it is a terrible, terrible tragedy of life, the way they had to live. Amen. Everybody had to do something for them. Amen. They said to me, they said they'd be better off dead than living like that. I said, that depends upon whether they're ready to meet God, whether they're saved or unsaved, to be lost. I want to tell you, you're better off in this world, a total invalid, and not even be able to talk and can't move, amen, your body from your chin down. Amen. Come on here. If you're lost, you'd be better off. Amen. In this world, a total invalid, a basket case. Amen. If you're unsaved and without Christ, you're better off. Amen. Drawn with your limbs up behind you and your feet drawn from a paralysis or a stroke. Amen. Blind in both eyes and deaf in both ears. Amen. But you're still alive on this side of eternity. Amen. You're better off here in that condition than you'd be if you died lost. Somebody was telling me just not too long ago, they said, amen, if certain party knew that they were going to wind up like they are, unable to do anything for them, they'd rather be dead. I said, you're probably right, unless they were lost and unsaved in 30 seconds in hell. Amen. They had realized how important and valuable life is at its worst. Amen. Amen. I said, amen. Men must stand before God. Men must stand before God. Amen. And be judged for their sin. Unsaved men. And when I use the gender men this morning, I certainly don't mean to exclude women. I'm just talking about mankind. Men and women, boys and girls, old and young. Amen. Unsaved men, unbelieving men, wicked men. Amen. Condemned men, doomed men. Amen. Men have already tasted the torments of the damned in hell. These men and women and children still are going to stand before God at the last judgment. Amen. And hear him say, you wicked, depart from me. Amen. The Bible said that death and hell will give up the dead that's in them. The sea will give up the dead that's in them. And they'll everyone stand before God. You think that it'd be awful to be in hell as the rich man in the book of Luke? Amen. Certainly it'd be a tragic thing to be in hell. amen, as that rich man was in the 16th chapter of Luke, a tragedy. But I want to tell you, hell with all of its torments, hell with all of its wretchedness, hell with all of its, amen, lost souls in it, is almost, amen, a good place to be in comparison to what the lake of fire is going to be. The Bible said that death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they all stood before God. That's the tragedy. Amen. The staff to stand before a sin avenging God. A God that cannot stand. Amen. The presence of sin. A God that is holy. A God that so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. To have to stand before that God. Amen. Come on here. Amen. Say, what in you except my Son and the provisions I made for your soul to be saved? Amen. And you'll stand there guilty before God. Amen. For sin that you did not repent of and ask forgiveness of. Die lost. Amen. Come on here. And you'll stand before him in eternal judgment. Amen. And there'll be nothing that you'll be able to say in your defense. And I got news for you this morning. Amen. I hear people always saying, almost on a daily basis, I'd go to church, but there's hypocrites at church. But I got news for you this morning. There's hypocrites in hell too. And there will be hypocrites in the lake of fire too. There's not one hypocrite going to heaven. Amen. Unless they repent and get their heart right with God. Amen. I want to tell you, you're not going to be able to stand before God on the last judgment and say, Lord, I'd give my heart to you if it hadn't been for some hypocrite. Amen. That prevented my coming to the altar. Amen. That'll be no excuse when you stand before God. Amen. Somebody said, well, somebody offended me. There'll be no excuse when you stand before God. Somebody said, I don't like the way the preacher preached. That'll be no excuse when you stand before God in eternal judgment. Stripped of every excuse. Amen. With no defense whatsoever. God will say, amen, I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. You would none of my counsel and none of my reproof. And therefore I will laugh at your calamity and I will mock you when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, you will call upon me, but I'll not answer you, saith God. Read it in the first chapter of Proverbs, my friend. Amen. There is no excuse. There is no excuse for not accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life and soul. Amen. Oh yes, you can rationalize why you're not a Christian. You can rationalize why you have never given your heart to God. But on that last day of judgment, when you stand before God who knows the secrets of every man's heart, and nothing is hid from the eyes of God, who knows the thoughts and intents of the soul and mind, amen, you will be without excuse. But God, God, I just didn't believe it the way that preacher preached it. And I didn't think it was necessary to leave it that close. Come on, I'm going to preach to you this morning. I'm talking to you about the last judgment. You remember the rich man in hell. He lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeth Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Come on here. And Jesus said, not so. You in your lifetime, was comforted, and you have no time for God. Hey, man, come on here. And likewise, Lazarus had nothing, and you had everything, but you didn't have time for God, but Lazarus did. Now you're tormented, and he is comforted. And beside this, there is a great gulf between us and you, that those who would pass from thence unto here cannot, and neither can they go from that are here from there, because there's a great gulf betwixt us. Oh, and I hear, oh, I hear, oh, I hear, amen, a tormented soul in eternity say to Abraham, Father Abraham, send Lazarus back to earth. Amen. Come on here. Hallelujah. For I have five brethren, lest that they too come to this awful place of torment. Amen. And God said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And this rich young ruler, rich man, said, but if one rose from the dead, they would hear him. And the Lord said to him, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither would they hear though one rose from the dead. And I have found out that that is true of human nature. Hey, man, come on here. Amen. You hear gospel preaching. You hear holiness preaching. You hear preaching against sin and the world and the flesh. And you are not moved to prayer. You're not moved to straighten your life out. You have no desire. You're religious, but you're not saved. You come to church and sing with everybody else, but your heart is wicked and your soul is far from God. I want to tell you, somebody said, well, I just don't see it the way our preacher preaches. That'll be no excuse when you stand before God in the last judgment. Amen. There'll be no defense on your part when you stand before a sin of ancient God and hear him say, bind him hand and foot and cast him in outer darkness. I want to tell you, amen, I hear it all the time. I'm trying to help somebody realize that eternity is long, heaven high, and hell is hot. And you don't want to go to hell at any cost. I hear people say all the time, preacher, I don't agree with you. I don't say it that way. Amen. Is that what you're going to tell God? The reason you didn't quit playing with the world and the worldly pleasures and sin. You never, amen, surrendered your life and your heart to God. Amen. Come on here. Amen. I want to tell you this morning. Woo! I'm preaching. Hell's going to be full of people, amen, that had good intentions. Someday they're going to get things right with God. And I'll tell you, they'll stand before him, amen, that's going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Hello. Amen. I want to tell you, if there is some point in time in your life when you were closer to God than where you are now, my friend, you are a backslider. That's a shocking statement. I don't care how often you come to church, or whether you even come to the altar. Amen. Especially just to keep the preacher off of your back and keep him from coming talking to you. Kneel in your seat. But never change your life. Come on here. Somebody say amen. It don't matter. It really, my friend, when you stand before God, there will be a lot of people that indeed, if they could defend themselves, they would say, but I thought. And you'll hear God say, but you knew what the Bible said, because that preacher that you listened to at Massanova Pentecostal Church told you, but you didn't believe it. You just simply brushed it off and said it's not necessary to walk that tight and close. Hell's going to be hot for people that knew and never. Come on here. Made a surrender to God. Amen. What do you have to do? What do you have to do to be lost? Get drunk? What do you have to do to be lost? Shoot your veins with drugs? What do you have to do to be lost? Kill somebody in cold-blooded murder? I can tell you, just simply rebel against the truth. That's all. Shut it out. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. But God, I didn't really know that was wrong, that was a sin. But didn't you have a preacher that preached against it? Yes, but I just didn't believe he was telling me right. How can they hear without a preacher? That's the very reason that God sent you preachers. Not just the pastor here. Amen. There have been multiplied hundreds and hundreds in the 20 years that I have been here. Hundreds and hundreds of preachers that has graced this pulpit beside myself, that has preached against sin and worldliness. And you just shut the door. Tuned them out. Changed the station. Ignored it. Come on here. Amen. I got news for you. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I'm reminded, oh God, I'm reminded of the young man many years ago that come into town, amen, in a buckboard. And he'd lost the reins to the horses that was pulling the buckboard, and something had spooked them, and they had gone wild. Amen. And they ran through the town and about to turn over the buckboard or the buggy that he was riding in. Amen. It would have been certain disaster, if not death, for the young man that had lost the reins. And the horses is running wild as, amen, fast as they could go. Amen. And a lawyer walking down the street saw the horses had, amen, got spooked and was running wildly. Amen. The lawyer, young man, strong as he was, run down the street, amen, and grabbed the horses by the reins that was dragging on the ground. Amen. They drug the young lawyer for a long ways.
amen, down the rugged streets of the town until his clothes was tattered and torn and bleeding, amen, all over and bruised. And amen, finally that young lawyer with those reins in his hands caused the horses to stop, amen, and saved that young man's life. A few years passed by. A few years passed by. Amen. Sitting in the courtroom. Amen. That young man whose life had been spared by the lawyer. Amen. Stood, amen, as a convicted felon. Amen. In the courtroom. Committed some horrible crime against society. And he looked up and saw the judge. And said, "But judge, don't you remember me? I'm the boy, amen, that you saved his life. You was a young lawyer, amen, and you saved my life. You put your life at risk, amen. You suffered in your body to save me, amen." And that young fella that used to be a young lawyer, now sitting behind the bench of a courtroom, was now the judge, amen, of that court. And he looked over. Tell you are dead for the crime you committed. I want to say this morning, amen, today you have a provision in Calvary. Jesus Christ is your interceding lawyer, and he wants to save your soul. He's intervened to the Father for you. Amen. He bore in his body on the tree your sins. He still carries the scars in his hands and in his feet. Amen. In his side where the spear ripped open his side and blood and water gushed out. He paid your penalty. He put his own life, amen, on the line for you to be saved. But in that day of awful judgment, amen, the writer said, "And I saw a white throne, a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for it. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death." My friend, let me say to you this morning, today is the day of salvation. Today, you have an opportunity to get your heart right with God. Today, you have the privilege, amen, to have a lawyer that's interceding your case. Amen. But the day will come when that divine, blessed, wonderful Savior will become your judge, your eternal judge, that will sentence you into hellfire. Amen. Lost forever.
Now to the closet of the dead past come the grinning, horrible skeletons of your past sins to face and condemn every soul that failed to make it right with God. Skeletons, yes. Skeletons that you shut the door on and thought that nobody else knew. Skeletons that you didn't want your wife to know was in your closet. You shut the door and locked it, off limits to anybody else. Skeletons that you do not want your husband to know about. Skeletons that you don't want anybody in the church to know about.
skeletons that you certainly don't want the preacher to find out about. But on that day, the door of your closet, of door of your heart's going to be open, and every sin of your life is going to be exposed to, amen, the candor of the whole grandeur of the whole world. Amen. And every man, woman, boy, and girl is going to see your life for what it was. Amen. Whited sepulchres full of dead men's bones that had a profession of religion. Amen. But whose heart was wretched and miserable and sinful and wicked. Amen. Skeletons to face and condemn you in the day of judgment. Oh yeah, the chickens will come home to roost. I know people right now that think that they, amen, got their sins covered up and other people don't know about it. But I want to tell you, there is nothing hid from the eyes of God. Amen. There is no soul. Come on here, I'm preaching to y'all this morning. There is no soul can hide from the all-seeing eyes of God. Amen. The Old Testament writer said, he that formed the eyes, can he not see? He that made the ears, can he not hear? Amen. And I'm surprised and amazed at the number of people who go to church think that God shuts his eyes whenever they indulge in sin and worldliness. Amen. Of this world. They think that God, amen, shuts his ears to their conversations. Amen. That are vile and wicked. But I'm telling you, there's a God. Amen. That's sitting on the eternal white throne, a great white throne, that every soul is going to stand before. And you'll give account to God, amen, for your adultery. You'll give account to God for your fornication. You'll give account for God for your sneaky sins that you think nobody in this world knows about. Amen. Come on here. You'll give account to God for the times that you rebelled against good preaching and holiness preaching, and your pastor that tried to admonish you in the ways of the Lord. You're going to stand before God and give account. Amen. Every man shall give account of himself to God. It is appointed unto every man once to die. But after this, the judgment. I got news for you this morning. You're not going to stand before me. Who is that? I'm glad. No. You got it all wrong. No. I promise you, you'd rather stand before me any day than to stand before God on the day of judgment. Somebody said, Brother Savage, you're too hard. I'm not near as strict as God will be on judgment day. Hello. I'm trying to keep you out of hell this morning. I'm trying to keep you out of that place of torment of the regions of the damned. Amen. I'm trying to keep you out of that place that's called the lake of fire. Amen. Somebody said, Brother Savage, amen, if you loved us, you'd preach us some smooth things and kind things and some blessings. I've already done that. Amen. Come on here. I did that Tuesday night. I did that Sunday night. Amen. But I want to tell you this morning, amen, I refuse to allow your blood to be on my hands when I stand before God. Amen. You'll have to give account for your own conduct and behavior. And you won't be able to stand there and say, my preacher never told me. I never heard about it. I didn't know how awful sin was. I didn't know how damning sin can be. I want to tell you, hell on earth earth here. Amen. It's like heaven in comparison to what hell's going to be in eternity. For yea, thus saith the Lord, warning after warning has my spirit dealt with thine heart. Yea, warning after warning from the mouth of thy almighty God. Yea, warning after warning about judgment. Yea, warning after warning about the effects and the results of thy sin, saith God. But the hardening of the heart, I say unto you, has brought, yea, the warnings into judgment. And I, the Lord, will cause you to stand before that judgment. And I, the Lord, that plead with your heart this day, will judge you in that hour. Yea, I say unto thee, therefore, this day, confess thy sin unto the Lord, and he shall abundantly pardon and forgive. Yea, and the peace that passeth all understanding shall indeed be thine. Reject my word, I say. Yea, resist the warning and the pleading, and judgment shall come, saith God. Holy Spirit. One last scripture this morning. We're going to pray. Galatians chapter 6. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. You sow to the flesh, ye shall of the flesh reap corruption. The only hope, the only escape, you sow to the Spirit, ye shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. This morning is the only way to escape the damnation of hell is to confess your sin and then forsake your sin. The only way. Father, we thank you this morning for every precious soul. Every precious soul that's in this sanctuary today, Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, that you touch some heart here in this service. Oh God, to die but to be lost. stand before you in eternal day of judgment. No excuse and no defense. I pray for every soul that's here this morning. Head is bowed, every eye is closed, nobody looking around. Not too often I preach like this on Sunday morning, but last night God laid this on my heart. Somebody needs God. In the worst way. I see a dark figure. And is following a certain person in this building this morning. Standing right behind you. I plead with you. I plead with you this day. God has allotted you this service this morning. Space of time to repent and ask forgiveness. That dark figure that I see is not a physical being. It is a foul spirit of death that's stalking a victim in this service this morning. I'm not going to give a usual altar service. But I can tell you this, by the Holy Ghost, somebody in this building this morning needs to pray. If you feel like God's dealing with your heart without anybody else inviting you or persuading you, and I'm not going to come to you personally, because you know God is dealing with your soul. Do you step out of your seat where you are at this morning? Make your way to this altar. I can put my hand on you because I see this dark spirit is following you. Somebody's about to stand before God, and they don't even know it. It doesn't matter to me. Whether you claim to be a Christian or a rank sinner, this altar's open if you feel like you need to pray. Oh, I'm pleading with somebody this morning. I'm pleading with somebody's soul. Oh,
God. There's some mothers here this morning. You are fooling around with God and your soul and eternity. You're trying to get by. But God has got your life strings in His hands this morning. Is there one more here that would get out of your seat without any further pleading and make your way to this altar with these? There's some more here. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, it's appointed unto every man once to die. But after this, after you die, you gotta face God in the judgment. Come on, there's some others need to pray this morning. Woo! Holy Ghost is tugging at your heart. The pleading of the Spirit. Amen. Oh, this morning, young, old, middle age, God's tugging at your heartstrings today. Surrender your heart. Surrender your life. Saith God, have I not given thee space of time to repent? Yea, saith the Lord, sin lieth at the door, and condemnation has come upon your heart, saith God. Yea, my spirit pleads, saith the Lord, with thine heart, reject my spirit. And yea, I say that judgment surely shall come, and that swiftly, saith God. This is an unusual service this morning. Somebody in this service needs to pray. You've been fooling around. Just been fooling around. God said it's enough. Oh God. Book of Hebrews talks to us about those that have done despite to the Spirit of grace. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Can I tell you this morning that this service is a turning point in somebody's life? One way or the other. God said He set before you an open door, life and death. Choose life that you may live. Anybody else here this morning feel you need to come and pray with these? Anybody else? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, God.
To come. Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Oh, judgment day. Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a bright day coming.